Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 7th of January, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
So this is one of those things, you know, we talked about how last year was a lot of upheaval and weirdness and, you know, people were excited about things getting back to normal, you know, in 2021. And one of the normal things... Well, yeah, still waiting, to be fair. But one of those tiny, like, pieces of normalcy that we had last year, before it went full 2020 on us, was CES. We had CES last year, in person, in Las Vegas, and all that that entails. And CES has evolved over the years and sort of expanded, I guess. A lot of CES, I know, doesn't take place in the convention center anymore. A lot of it happens outside, and a lot of it happens before and after. So there will be briefing meetings with folks, you know, before the show starts. I think lots of TMO folks have been having them like this week in preparation for next week, because CES is next week.
Or 2 weeks ago. It's pretty typical, right? Because companies know that it's going to be insane during CES for everyone, including those of us that are covering it. And so they like to make sure that where possible, they can get us the news and have perhaps a more in-depth conversation, a more attentive conversation middle of December than they might be able to get in 10 minutes on the, you know, at some press events at CES. So there's some of that stuff that's been happening for several weeks, but it's heating up now, right? There's some pre-events for CES that are specifically for press that have started happening this week, and that will continue into next week. I feel like it's going to be the 3 weeks of CES this year.
Yeah.
What I've seen so far, and we'll talk about some of it, is very promising in that it's real. Like you said, it's not what CES usually is, and yet at the same time, it's what CES usually is.
Right?
Yeah. Companies are treating this like they would any other CES. There are product announcements. There are events. I attended a Harman JBL event this morning where the first half of it was them talking about their new products. And I want to mention a couple of those here if we can today, if we have time. And then the second half of it was Keith Urban delivering a 30-minute concert from his, you know, quarantined home, wherever that might be. I would assume Nashville, or if he's smart, Australia.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, but, yeah. And now, to be fair, like, that's usually what the Harman JBL event is we have some awesome stuff to show you, and now here's a concert.
And then it would have been actually a concert with 1,000 people and
Keith
Urban and all of us sweating together. Yeah, yes. yeah, exactly. So we didn't get to do that this year, obviously.
Right. But still, kind of a similar event.
It was still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So I'm like, that's one of the things that I was sort of glad about when we started getting information from CES, you know, official, I guess, about... it's just going to be digital this year, but we're totally doing it and all that kind of stuff. It was sort of nice to see that like that was going to continue. So
yeah, and it has given the industry a temporal focal point, right? So where there are these announcements and things all happening, which it always has, but it's good.
Yeah.
And of course, it's smart for CES to do that in preparation for, you know, next year. So
yes.
The momentum keeps going. So
exactly.
Yeah, no, it's smart.
So, you know, I did talk about CES evolving. The letters originally stood for Consumer Electronics Show. A lot of times in more recent years, a lot of what you see is sort of announceware. Like we've got this thing to show you, but you can't go buy one yet. So it sort of the joke became that CES stands for coming. Expected spring. So but this year it sounds like there's some stuff that's actually out or is at least far enough along that they can say there is availability for it at this particular time. So I do want to give you a chance to talk about the Harman stuff, because I'm always interested in what they're up to. So if there's stuff that you can tell us about, then I am all ears.
Sure. Yeah. And the Harman stuff is definitely, you know, coming expected spring, as usual. at least the stuff I'm going to talk about here, there are some things. I think there was one set of earbud headphones that are due for January, but they didn't speak to me as much as two of these other ones. They've launched this thing called the Tour Series. And so they have the Tour One, which is an over the ear headphone. And then the Tour Plus, which is a, you know, true wireless earbud a la AirPods. Right.
Okay.
So and they're both May, 2021. So there you go.
All right.
The Tour Plus, I guess, is the first one I'll talk about. And cause I think it gets better with the Tour One, but the Tour Plus, the wireless earbuds, they have JBL's hybrid adaptive noise cancellation so that they are adjusting their noise cancellation based on both your environment and your personal preferences.
Oh.
Yeah, which is interesting. And, there's a trend for that. I saw New Hera yesterday at the TechFluence event was showing off their IQ Buds 2 Max. Now, New Hera is far more focused on hearing protection and hearing restoration or hearing improvement, although their earbuds are also great headphones, at least the ones I've used in the past, and I'm assuming that these new IQ Buds 2 Max are the same way.
Okay.
But they are focused on this personalized audio signature thing that goes on with New Hera. They're doing more of it than Harman because they're focused on two different sets of customers. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting trend to see like these ear assessment things happening.
Yeah.
So the Tour Pro Plus has some level of that. They've got a Check My Fit thing that uses the app on the phone as well as the earbuds, kind of like the AirPods do, to tell you, do you have a good seal, which is good. Yeah. And they have three microphones in it, two on the outside of each ear, one on the inside of each ear to facilitate some of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And 30 hours of playback time, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Right. So those are cool. And then there's the Tour One, which are their over the ear headphones. That has like even more true adaptive noise cancellation with personal attributes really baked in. 50 hours of playback time. They support JBL Pro Sound with high res audio. You won't get that over Bluetooth because that's not how Bluetooth works. but I mean, you sort of will, but not, you know, if you plug them in, which you can, then you really are starting to get like true high quality sound.
Yeah.
They're ambient aware. They've got Google and the A-Lady built in, and they have this smart audio mode that I need to learn a lot more about. And I have a briefing next week where I can dig into this, but I can talk about what they're saying now, and then I'll hopefully be able to tell you more. And it's that it optimizes Bluetooth for one of three modes, either normal listening, music mode, or what they're calling a low latency video mode. And the first two are cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm interpreting the difference between normal listening and music mode are sealing out more of the world so that you have more of your sound, happening with music mode than you would with normal listening mode. Right. This low latency video mode is built so that you can watch a video and not have there be the typical Bluetooth sound delay happening. I don't know what technology they are employing to do this. There is something called aptX low latency, but everything in the chain, the client device, the device sending the audio and the device receiving the audio have to both support it. And so I'm curious to learn like how they're accomplishing this, and we'll report back. But, you know, so they've got that stuff going on, and then they've got, you know, some other like the new Charge 5 is out, which is their sort of larger portable speaker that can charge your devices and that sort of thing. So, but those two headphones are the ones that sort of jumped out at me. And it's cool. It's interesting. There's always trends that you can kind of glean out of things. And it seems like there's something happening here with the way that people are paying more attention to audio, which is good. I'm a geek about that stuff, so I like it.
Yeah, and I've seen some other headphones that do similar things. Like you can adjust the amount of noise cancellation that you're getting out of the headphones, or there's a separate app that you install on your phone and you can set your own equalizer, that kind of thing. So I've seen some more customizability in those, and that's been interesting to watch evolve over time. And it's not sort of, you know, take it and like it. Like, this is the noise canceling you get, and if you don't like it, then you have to get different headphones. So
exactly. Speaking of trends, mm-hmm. there was one of the preview events yesterday called TechFluence, which is where I saw the new Hero thing. Stephen Baker from the MPD group talked about the trends that they saw in, you know, consumer electronics for 2020 and mm-hmm. what they were predicting. And there were some really interesting things. No great surprise that routers were up huge year over year, right? Because we couldn't just ignore our routers anymore. If your router isn't up to snuff, you learned it real fast in 2020, right?
Oh,
being home,
yes,
and working and streaming, right? TP-Link, of all the router companies or networking companies, because it's not just routers, all networking stuff was up. TP-Link mm-hmm. was up like 150%. I mean, huge, huge gains,
wow,
which is great for them. One category that was up huge, network cables. We talk so much about Wi-Fi, but mm-hmm. there were more network cables, more dollars spent on network cables last year than there have been every year prior, all the way back to 2013. So that's an interest. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
Yep. Smart home underperformed last year, dropped to less. It grew, but not at the rate that it had been growing.
Interesting.
However, it's important to factor in there that security cameras are 50% of the revenue of the smart home industry.
Wow.
And so if you take those out, smart home actually grew at a pretty good clip last year.
Okay.
But no one was buying security cameras because they're home.
I don't have to watch my house when I'm not home if I'm always home. Yeah.
Right. Don't have to watch my house when I can watch my house. So that
exactly.
sort of made sense.
Yeah.
Digital picture frames saw huge growth. And I think we will see more of that as people can release some of them, you know, this year. We at home and in our kids' dorm rooms, we've really been enjoying the skylight frames. They're super easy to use. The Netgear Mural has been iterating on the design, and now they've got like a desktop version, so you don't have to spend like $900 on this big wall unit thing. So that'll be interesting to see. But I just figured I'd share some of those trends because I found especially the networking cables and you know, the security camera things. It's just interesting. So figured I'd share.
Somebody mentioned, I don't remember who I was speaking with at TechFluence yesterday, who mentioned you know who it was? It was your friend and mine, Dave, OWC, who said that they have updated their travel dock to include an Ethernet port and didn't realize how many people really wanted Ethernet until everybody was home all the time. And like, you have to plug in your work machine because everyone else is using the Wi-Fi. And now at least you have your own, you know, dedicated hunk of network that you can use to get your stuff done. So that was who it was. So hi, OWC.
That's interesting. We can talk about Wi-Fi 6 if you want, but like that would lead into that conversation that people are plugging in at home mm-hmm. because the Wi-Fi is so congested with everyone else being at home.
Yes.
That's fascinating. Well, yeah.
Let's talk about Wi-Fi 6 then. We have a few minutes. And so we've talked a little bit about Wi-Fi in general here and there. And I know that I have you on every so often to talk about mesh and all of that. So I'm going to preface the entire wireless internet conversation by saying a whole bunch of this stuff is probably going to be different by this time next week because of CES.
Yeah,
so keep in
don't
mind,
buy anything today if you can avoid it.
Yeah, don't buy anything today until we tell you about it, because next week, obviously, like a lot of daily observation stuff is going to be, here's some cool things that we found at CES. So know this, and maybe just leave it in the cart for now. Don't hit buy on anything until you find out what's coming out, you know, soon. But Dave, tell us about Wi-Fi 6 and how that's different.
Yeah, so Wi-Fi 6 lives in the same 5 gigahertz range that Wi-Fi 5 does. And in case Wi-Fi 5 sounds like a new term to you, it is a new retroactively applied term. It is 802.11ac. They are one and the same, right? Wi-Fi 6 is 802.11ax. Thank goodness the Wi-Fi consortium, or whatever name they actually go by, decided to use these new names. I know it obscures what the technology is underneath it, but it makes it so much easier for us to talk about. Like, we know that Wi-Fi 6 is newer, better, faster than Wi-Fi 5. And that might not be so obvious if you see AC versus AX, like which is which. Mm-hmm. So that is what Wi-Fi 6 is.
Yeah.
Now there is Wi-Fi 6E coming. It is a defined standard and it uses the 6 gigahertz band. And the reason that matters is because the 6 gigahertz band is not nearly as congested as the 5 gigahertz band is. So that may make a difference down the road, but there really isn't any, I haven't seen any 6E hardware that makes sense to get yet. So bear that in mind, but that's what Wi-Fi 6 is.
Okay.
Where it matters. So it uses a different signaling protocol from Wi-Fi 5, and that's why it's faster. And it's quite a bit faster. It can be like 4 times faster than Wi-Fi 5, given all the right circumstances and all of that stuff.
Sure.
It's very similar to the difference between your DOCSIS 3.0 cable modem and then your gigabit capable DOCSIS 3.1 cable modem. In fact, it's using the same OFDM signaling in both of those faster ones. And it is, you can get gigabit speeds with Wi-Fi 6. I've seen speeds of, I'm looking here, and I have seen gigabit speeds with my iPhone when I am, you know, within about 10 feet, 5 to 10 feet of a Wi-Fi 6 base station in a relatively non-cluttered Wi-Fi environment. I'm not living in a Faraday cage, but I'm also not living in a New York City apartment, right?
So, right.
It's worth bearing in mind. Realistically, though, where this all helps is when you've got multiple devices on, because Wi-Fi 6 requires, if your device is Wi-Fi 6 capable, it therefore can play very well and share the Wi-Fi spectrum with other Wi-Fi devices, which is great. And it can really utilize that speed the right way. Even if you don't have any Wi-Fi 6 devices yet, and your iPhone 11 and later is Wi-Fi 6, your M1 Max are all Wi-Fi 6 and everything else is Wi-Fi 5. But even if you don't have any of those devices yet, and even if you're not planning on getting any of those soon, Wi-Fi 6 can still really help. And where it really helps is with mesh, because with mesh, you have multiple Wi-Fi access points spread about your house and they speak to each other wirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
If they can speak to each other at Wi-Fi 6, or especially at Wi-Fi 6E,
yes,
you've got a much faster backhaul between all your mesh points, and that will make your network more efficient. It will open up more bandwidth for all of your, even your just your Wi-Fi 5 devices, which are most of the things that you have.
So what is backhaul for people who may not know?
Great question.
What makes that better, I guess?
Right. So let's say your cable modem comes in on one side of your house and you're going to be on the other side of your house, right? Uh-huh. And if you just had a router where your cable modem came in, you would have a weak signal all the way over at the other side of your house. So you've bought a mesh system and you put one of the mesh units where your cable modem is, because that's how that works.
Yes.
And then you put another one maybe halfway to this other side of your house. And it talks back to the one that's at your cable modem, and that is backhaul. When the access points are talking to each other, we'll call that backhaul. Front haul is when the access points are talking to your devices, like your laptop or your iPhone.
Okay.
When you are on the other side of the house, you would be connecting to this second access point that you've put in the middle.
The further outpost, yeah.
The further outpost, right? And you get a great connection to that. But the real question is, how good is that device's connection back to your cable modem?
Right.
Because you could have a great connection to this device, but if it has a crappy connection to your cable modem, then you still suffer the same fate.
Yeah.
And this is where whatever you're using as your backhaul matters. There's a lot of people that over the years with mesh systems, if they can, will use Ethernet for backhaul for the same reasons. So don't have Ethernet, you might not even care anymore with Wi-Fi 6 because you get that really fast backhaul. It really, really, truly starts to mitigate the need for putting cables in your walls.
That's awesome.
And I've noticed it here at the house too. Yeah, I'm seeing, you know, realistically, I'm seeing 500 to 700 megabits per second with the Eero and the Orbi Wi-Fi 6 mesh units that I've tested. And it really, I mean, it's great. The Orbi one, I've given Netgear a lot of crap over the years, and they've deserved it. When the Orbi
that's
first came out, yeah. Well, when the Orbi first came out, it was built not really to be a mesh system.
Yeah.
And it didn't support Ethernet backhaul. It didn't support a lot of these things. And it was sort of crippled. But it had this really fast router to satellite backhaul, like super fast. And then they did, with software, they added Ethernet backhaul and some of these other things. But the software was flaky for a very long time, and it made the system really unreliable unless you were using it in that original configuration where you just had one hop to everything. They have fixed that part of it, but they've also maintained the really fast backhaul. And I have a great environment here to test this stuff. My house is about 75 feet across the driveway from my office. And so I have this great way to test long haul backhaul, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'm getting like 350 megabits per second in each direction across the driveway with these Orbi units, which is really impressive. Like I used to not see anything more than like 150. So these, you know, and I'm getting, it's close to that. It's not quite the same with sure. Eero, but it's close to that. It's like, you know, 2 to 250 or whatever. So it definitely, like, Wi-Fi 6 makes a difference when you need that real backhaul. So pay attention if you got an outbuilding, or even just if your house has, you know, is sprawling, which a lot of houses are.
Or like my house, we have a lot of backyard. So there's stretches of the backyard where I don't have the best reception, which is a very great problem to have. I guess like all of the house is totally fine, but there's parts of the backyard, like if I'm mowing and doing something on Wi-Fi, it gets a little sketchy, like if I'm listening to music or something. So I that's like a first world problem, like telling me
totally.
That's a first world problem, Kelly. That's going to do it for us. Apparently, I'm going to be depressed about my network because Dave's is awesome and mine probably needs an upgrade. But I'm going to get a bunch of stuff next week that will help me do something to change that. So
there you go.
Like I said before, next week, we're probably going to end up talking a lot about things that we found at CES. So Dave will be here. John F. Braun is probably going to make another appearance. And we will be talking about that stuff next week. So, Dave, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.